You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Terrence Houston, and this is The Ecologist Goes to Washington, a podcast program by the Ecological Society of America, where we interview scientists involved with public policy. Today, I'm interviewing Matthew Berg with Texas A&M University. Matthew is one of this year's 4 Graduate Student Policy Award winners.
Much of your research with Texas A&M involves interacting with local decision makers on issues of water quality and water management. Could you talk a little bit about your research and expand upon these interactions?
Sure. My current work deals with ecohydrology. It's a combination of ecology and hydrology. I work with a team investigating the effects of large-scale watershed changes on ecosystem services. I'm studying things like erosion and sedimentation, land use change, woody plant encroachment, and the interaction of management and climate effects. I've worked with several landowners, and my results will be used to guide regional water planning efforts, since rangelands in many areas of the world are receiving growing attention as a part of the water picture.
You've noted that Clean Water Act funds distributed through the Environmental Protection Agency have improved water quality in Texas. How has this funding specifically helped the community you work in?
So my work is conducted on a regional basis, but EPA funds themselves have made possible watershed planning process in the same watershed that I'm working in. And here and in many other places around the state, there is now a mechanism in place to build awareness and take meaningful action to address often invisible water quality issues where there is no path forward before at all. Motivated stakeholder groups are taking the lead and utilizing EPA funds through state agencies to tackle water challenges. Creative new management measures, outreach campaigns, and other efforts have gone a long way in connecting people to the watershed in which they live. We all live, work, and play in a watershed, usually a bunch of them. But by integrating into the local decision-making process and general human experience, local communities and the ecosystem itself can benefit together.
In what way do you feel working with policymakers at the local level in Texas helps prepare you for the meetings you had during the congressional visits here with the Biological Ecological Sciences Coalition on Capitol Hill?
It seems to me if you can sell ecology in Texas, you can sell it anywhere. Seriously, though, there are always places to connect with what everyone and the representatives thinks is important. In a semi-arid region like mine, water is always an issue. Bringing this to the forefront almost always pays off. When done right, there are many ecological benefits that come along with it. Beyond that, the political and ideological climate is very different from place to place, be that across the nation or even across a county here in Texas. And it takes a lot of savvy to know where people are personally and to point out shared goals and needs. I developed a thick skin from having others not always see my perspective, and I've learned that there are usually smaller ways to come together. It hasn't hurt living in a state known for having a strong sense of determination. Maybe that has rubbed off on me a bit too.
During your meetings on Capitol Hill, what type of reception did you get from congressional staff on the importance of federally funded research? Was it what you expected?
My first meeting was with the office of the congressman from my district. He attended the university where I study, and that was a tremendous advantage that brought immediate benefits. Conversation was pretty easy, and there was a direct ability to demonstrate the importance of federal investment in science at the university level, because the university wouldn't be what it is without it. In this and other meetings, I kept a pretty high-altitude view of science research without going into too many specifics. I think that's where many discussions sometimes break down. The idea of science is generally not opposed, but when there is mention of individual projects that some may disagree with or think frivolous, you can lose traction in a hurry, unfortunately. And again, I went with what was important to everyone and stuck with water issues. I was generally surprised in a good way at the warm reception I received. Science was acknowledged as important, and despite a single challenging question, conversations were largely very positive. Knowing the political perspectives of some of the offices I was meeting with, I had no idea what to expect. But looking back, things were quite pleasant. The real question will be whether that translates into action.
Were there particular aspects of what you said, your background, shared local experiences, or points you made during your meetings that seemed to resonate particularly well with the congressional offices you met with?
Tailoring the message to each individual office was hugely important. I addressed the importance of the university as an economic driver to the local congressman I met with first. I pointed to water supply issues with the senator from the San Antonio and Edwards Aquifer area. I brought up Galveston Bay and its huge regional importance to the senator from the Houston area. Even when going in the general direction of water, I tried to work down to a little more detail that would mean much more to each office individually.
Was there a particular instance with one of the congressional offices you met with where you got a question that kind of threw you for a loop or added some type of tension that you, you know, didn't anticipate? And you know, how did you respond to that situation?
Well, one question that's kind of making the rounds as a whipping boy for a certain part of the political spectrum right now is that question of duck penises. A question of pure research that has benefits that maybe might not be obvious. And a lot of the things that we do in terms of scientific study take a while to realize their added contribution to society as a whole, maybe even a little piece of the bigger question they answer. And sometimes just answering questions for curiosity's sake maybe isn't valued as much. So that was directly brought up, the question of duck penis research. And sometimes it's just hard to address that perspective that doesn't see answering questions for curiosity's sake. So there are maybe some attempts you can take to steer to direct application, but some of them it is going to be a little bit hard. And I was a little bit surprised in that minute. But I think by addressing some of the other benefits of science investments, we are able to kind of overcome that and look again back to the bigger picture and show that it's important as an enterprise overall.
What advice would you give to other young scientists seeking to engage in public policy?
I'd say to start small. Be a part of a local decision-making group of any sort, potentially taking a leadership role after learning the ropes. Take a class. Read. Learn as much as you can about an issue that you're passionate about, and never stop being a student of that topic and everything else that connects with. Meet with decision-makers, from local committees and elected officials to state and national offices. Keep in touch with relevant agencies to know what is important and where things are going. Hone your communication skills. Share your research or experiences with anyone and everyone, starting with school kids. If you can't explain your work to a kindergarten, you're going to have a hard time doing that with a legislator. Honestly, though, know your audience and genuinely build a relationship with them by understanding what they think is important. It becomes a lot easier to work together.
And that was Matthew Berg with Texas A&M University. Thanks so much for listening, and please join us next time when The Ecologist Goes to Washington.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.